Good morning. My name is Peter Palermo, and this year's trip leader to East Africa Missions to Katikwana, Uganda, which is in the Kumi district, which is farther north than we've been for any church plants there in Uganda. It's my privilege to be able to introduce to you today those of us who will be going this Thursday. You know, in 1999, this church began an evangelistic partnership with some Christians in East Africa to plant churches there. And Grace has directly been involved in 18 church plants in Uganda, Kenya, and Tanzania. And indirectly, Grace has been partners with other churches, introducing other American churches to go there. And collectively, there's over 100 new churches started there in those countries. And it all kind of started here at Grace and some other ministries too. But, you know, part of the things that we do there, for those of you that aren't familiar with the ministry, we send funds in advance so they can get the land, get the building built, have a pastor's house ready and a trained seminary pastor ready to go, so that when we arrive, we team up with translators to go out into the community and just share the gospel. And by the end of the week, for the time there, when they have their first church dedication Sunday, the place is always packed out. And, you know, we continue to be blessed to find how things are growing and how things are going over there. The successful expansion of this work has also made it necessary for them over there to start their own seminary to keep up with the demand for the churches that need pastors to guide all these thousands and thousands of new Christians that are there. Then because of giving for the seminary, in the last year, I think over $40,000 has been given to the seminary there, the CBIT and seminary, to expand facilities and to put in a new library for those students that are training to become pastors. Now, and also because of the abundant giving for this year's church plant, not only do we have enough to fully fund every one of us that are going, we've got an abundance to give other things to. Some extras is a water well. And over there, they do not have access to good water. Some of them have to walk for miles if they can get good water. And so the gift that comes from this church that's going to be going over there, you can imagine the impact that that's having and what it says about this church, the love that this church has for those people over there. And the another exciting thing that's going to be funded because of the abundant giving for this year's church plant is an Awana program. Many of you know about the Awana program here. They're going to have one over there at that church. And they've been doing this with other churches too. Other churches have been starting an Awana program. It has a tremendous long-term effect, as you know, on those kids over there. So tremendous appreciation, gratitude, and thanks goes out to all of us. In all the ministries here at Grace, they're always a team effort, whether it's Awanas, you know, East Africa, and, you know, the giving that has come through and the many people that have been encouraging to myself and the team, asking how they can help, that's just characteristic of this church, the team effort that goes into all the ministries that are successful at Grace. Now, I'd like to introduce Fred Pettigrew. He's been six times. Dave Hodges was his first year last year. Richie Bemis, he's been four times. Wendy Albert, she's a new one that's coming along this year. We're excited to have her with us. Paul Mitchell, he's been seven times. Cindy, she's been six. And my favorite, Rosemary, she's been four times. Myself, I've been a dozen times. But and a team from Grace goes every 2 years. So be asking your Heavenly Father about going in 2016. And before you leave today, stop by the back table, pick up the info sheets about our daily activities and it explains a lot. Just picked one of those up at the back table. And thank you all for your prayer support. You know, we really need it while we're there, and we see the effects of it because it's like God just plows the road for us and just has everything happen. And it's just amazing. And then we look forward to the report that we'll be able to give when we get back. There's not going to be a prayer time collectively for the church to meet with us this Sunday. Actually, we're going to be doing some luggage check and some other logistics at the Founders Chapel. If you want to stop by and say hello, by all means do so. And let's see, I've got one verse here that goes along with the team, and you'll see it. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, and who announces salvation. So that was in Isaiah 52. So keep up with the prayers, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much, everyone. Let's send our missionaries away with a prayer. I'd like everyone to stand. Why don't you all gather around, and we're going to lift our team to the Lord. Why don't you pray with me? Oh, Father, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise for gathering us together today and for gathering this group of servants to go out and share your word. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us the means, the funds, the anointing, the help, the assistance. Father, we just pray that you'd go before them and pave the way and prepare hearts and minds. We just pray for safety and travel. We know it's a long road, a long flight, a long route, both to go to Uganda and to return. And Lord, we just pray for good health, for safety, for, again, your anointing over all those that are going to be receiving and those that are speaking. And we just pray further that you'd bring them home safe and we'd hear good reports, not only while they're there, but as they return. And we thank you, Lord, again. We pray your special anointing upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, good morning. This is going to be a little bit of an abbreviated sermon today. But the special music, I think, was worth it, don't you?
Amen.
If you've been keeping up with world events lately, you know that there's a lot of problems right now in the world, aren't there? My goodness, Boko Haram is raiding villages and kidnapping Christian girls. In Russia, we have them supporting separatists. In the Ukraine, we had the downing of the Malaysian airplane. There is outrage in India over a rampage, it seems, of sexual assaults. Israeli-Palestinian conflict is going on with no end in sight. Syria is engulfed in civil war. Afghanistan and Iraq, we still have troops there. People are still dying. Muslim radical group ISIS is trying to create a Muslim state right now. And oddly enough, it looks like the Iranians and the Americans are going to team up and try to do something about that. Does that sound crazy or what? In our own country, we don't maybe have all that violence going on, but in our own country, we do have problems. In fact, a huge problem right now is, what do we do about our borders? I mean, there are mass stages of protests going on where buses and trains are showing up with thousands upon thousands of refugees. Right now, there's not a whole lot of peace, just a lot of problems and confusion and disagreement with people. Now, just for grins, here's what I did. I decided I'm going to Google up how to have your mind at peace, how to have peace. And I Googled several sites just for grins, and one of them kept popping up in all of these, and this is one of them that popped up. How to have peace today, inner peace. Okay, listen carefully. Minimize your time you spend on reading newspapers or watching the news on TV. There you go. Since most of the news is negative news and you cannot do anything about it, why should you think about it and feel stressed and anxious? In other words, the idea is this. If you want inner peace, don't think about what's going on in the world, because everything's full of problems. There is no peace. So the only thing you can really do is inside yourself, isolate yourself from all the problems, and then you can keep somewhat of a peace, hopefully. And that's one of the main recommendations for peace. Now, personally, I don't like the idea of not paying attention to what's going on in the world news. I do think that we can have an effect. I do think we have a responsibility to have an effect of what's going on in the world today. Jesus knew that this world was going to have all sorts of problems. In fact, you know, we've been in the Upper Room Discourse. Jesus has predicted the problems that are going to be there. And by the way, he's especially predicted the problems for Christians. See, the world has problems, but what Jesus predicted is the Christian gets an extra load of problems for his faith. He gets persecuted. Or earlier, as Jesus put it, they hated me and they're going to hate you. Well, let's look and see with the little bit of time we have, what does Jesus say about peace and having peace today? Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this morning, and we are grateful for the peace that we have through Jesus. And we just pray that as we look at this passage, that you'd help us to see how to truly experience that peace in our lives. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, if you recall last week, Jesus has been talking to the disciples. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to open up to John chapter 16. Jesus is winding down the Upper Room Discourse. I mean, before you know it, we're going to be in the high priestly prayer that he prays for the disciples. So these are his last words here before they hit the Mount of Olives. He tells them that they can expect all sorts of problems. He tells them that, especially just recently, that there's going to be things they do not understand. When he comes back after the resurrection, he will speak plainly, is what he says. And it's only going to be after the resurrection that they really understand this whole episode that they're going through and what Jesus is undergoing. And they'll be able to ask the Father, and he will grant their request. And so Jesus is told this. Their change, after he says this, is rather interesting. They become bubbling with enthusiasm. Now look with me, if you were, at 16 verses 28 through 30. Verse 28 says this, I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. I'm leaving the world again and going to the Father. And look at the response here. His disciples said, lo. I guess lo back there meant it was kind of like saying wow today, right? Lo. Now you're speaking plainly and you're not using a figure of speech. Now we know that you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. By this, we believe you've come from God. Now, is that a little surprising to read? I thought they believed a long time ago. Now we believe? Now, if you were with us earlier, you know this keeps popping up. In fact, let's just go back. You can go back all the way to the first miracle Jesus did at Cana. And after that first miracle in chapter 2, what Jesus did there in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. His disciples believed in him a long, long time ago. But as we've seen in the Upper Room Discourse, Jesus' concern is the depth of their belief, the depth of their faith, which is something ever increasing. In fact, as we follow through the book of John, remember with Lazarus. Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. In other words, the miracle with Lazarus is to deepen their faith. John 13, from now on, I'm telling you before it comes to pass, so then when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. Now he's looking past the resurrection. See, the whole idea is that these guys believed a long time ago, but just like with us today, you grow in your faith. You grow in the depth of your belief. You believe more and more and more firmly and more convicted as time goes on. And that's been Jesus' concern with these disciples. The amazing thing is all of a sudden, they think they've arrived. Now we really believe, now we're really convicted. We've really got this thing nailed down. We understand what you're talking about. We're with you. Now, why won't you watch Jesus' response? What a killjoy. Look what Jesus says in response. His response is not, great guys, I've been working with you all this time and now he finally arrived and you really understand. High five. That's not what he does. That's not what he does at all. Look what Jesus says in verses 31 and 32. Do you now believe? Do you now believe? Oh, you get it now, huh? And then listen to this. Behold, an hour is coming, has already come, for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Well, that had to be a little deflating. All that enthusiasm, we finally got it clear. You're speaking clearly. We believe in Jesus. Says, oh, really? You're all going to leave me, and I'll be all alone. What a response. And Jesus never bought into self-esteem teaching methods, did he? Jesus never tried to hide from people when they were mistaken on issues. Jesus never pulled punches when he was talking about the future, did he? He just laid it out. And if it hurts, guess what? Ouch, it hurts. You see, Jesus has made clear throughout the Upper Room discourse, it is not going to be till after the resurrection that they understand everything. He's also made it clear that until the Holy Spirit comes, none of this stuff's really going to jive and make sense. He's told them that. He's told them they're going to scatter and not make it. It's going to be a while before they get collected and the Holy Spirit enables them to become what they're supposed to become. And you guys think they've arrived. No, you haven't. It's all going to happen just like I said. You really don't see clearly. You don't believe deeply enough, and you are going to scatter. And by the way, you could look in the synoptics and you'll see on the Mount of Olives, shortly after this, Jesus will quote Zechariah 13:7, telling them about their scattering, and they're still going to be denying it clear up to that very last moment. We're never going to scatter. I mean, this might sound like Jesus is a real killjoy. Jesus was a realist, and he just shot straight with people so they don't get disillusioned, built up, so that when it happens, they'll realize he knew exactly what was going to happen. Verse 33. Look with me again in your Bibles. Jesus has just told them how they're all going to be scattered. And then in verse 33, these things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Now Jesus has just told them they're going to scatter. How do you think the mood changes right then? I mean, they were filled with bubbling over exuberance a moment ago. Then Jesus says they're going to scatter. Now what do you think the expression on their face is? Shame? Embarrassment? You bet. I bet you could hear a pin drop. Jesus has just told them they're all going to desert him. They're all going to be defectors. They're a bunch of cowards. And that's what Jesus has just told. And now he follows it up by saying, these things I've spoken so that you may have peace. Shouldn't that be Jesus? These things I've spoken to embarrass you. These things I've spoken to shame you. These things I've spoken to really ruin your day. Why would you say these things I've spoken that you may have peace? Isn't that interesting? I wouldn't have expected that. If somebody made a terrible prediction about me, I wouldn't expect the next thing for them to say, I've told you this so that you may have peace. See, they need to hear. Jesus has just brought them back down to earth. And what they need to hear is this: even though they're going to scatter, even though they're going to take off, even though they're going to fail, guess what? I'm not leaving you. We're still going to be buds. I'm speaking this for the reason of peace. You know the very first word out of Jesus' mouth when he sees the disciples after the resurrection? The very first word out of Jesus' mouth when he sees them after the resurrection. We skip ahead to chapter 20. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." That's the very first word out of his mouth. Now, if you have a translation that says, "May peace," the very first word in Greek, eirene, is peace. The very first word out of Jesus' mouth is peace. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, hey, in case you didn't, peace. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. See? He told them beforehand, you're all going to scatter. Y'all think you got it all figured out. You don't. You're all going to desert me. But you know what? Peace. My peace I give you. Even though you're going to turn your back on me. Even though you're going to fail me. My peace isn't going to leave. And so when he sees them the very first time, peace. Now notice what he says. It's interesting, if you look again in verse 33, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In me. Now this is the second time Jesus has talked about peace in the Upper Room Discourse. Earlier he mentioned peace in chapter 14, verse 27. Let's just take a quick look here. Earlier he said this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. So here is the statement in verse 33 is, in me you might have peace. Earlier it was my peace. It's a special type of peace. It's not generic peace. Peace on its own just simply means an absence of hostility. That's what peace means, an absence of harmony. Now this is Jesus' own peace. Jesus' own peace he gives them. And notice in both places what it says. It contrasts his peace with the world. Look at verse 33 again. These things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. Now look back at chapter 14. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. See, both times he makes a contrast. The peace that he gives and the peace the world gives, or what the world offers. Understand something. The world will never be at peace. The world cannot offer peace. I looked at one website. It was amazing. The whole website was Imagine Peace. And the idea was this. A guy went online and what he found out was the world will end occurred. And he had 80,000 sometimes where you can find that phrase on the internet. But as far as the world will experience peace, he found hardly at all. So he's making a bunch of t-shirts that say peace is inevitable. And his feeling is if we all get on board and buy t-shirts that say peace is inevitable, we can bring peace into the world. We've got to quit thinking the world's going to end and start thinking the world inevitably will come to peace. And if we all do, if we all can just jump on board, the world will be at peace. In some ways, that's a little like John Lennon. Remember John Lennon's song? Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. John wasn't a dreamer. John was deluded. He was deceived. I prefer another British person by the name of C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis said this, God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself because it is not there. There's no such thing. See, until Jesus, the Prince of Peace, forces peace on this earth, because that's what he's going to have to do. He's going to have to force peace on earth in a climactic battle described in Revelation 19. Until that moment, we're ever going to be filled with violence, problems, war, and obstacles. And folks, the faces are going to change, but we're just going to keep seeing the same thing over and over. It's never going to end. No matter what you imagine or what you slap on your t-shirt. And we can insulate ourselves by thinking, well, I won't read the only time I read the newspaper will be to read the funnies and the sports. If I turn on the news, it'll be watched silly sitcoms. That's how all of it. Well, you know what? That's not going to deal at all with the problem we have in the world and the lack of peace. And the truth of the matter is, that's still not going to save you from inner turmoil and confusion and concern. Just simply ignoring the problem. The only lasting peace on this planet is through Jesus Christ. And you can have it personally. One day he's going to bring it corporately. He's going to bring it publicly. But right now you can experience it personally. And that's what Jesus said, in me you have peace. Even though the world's filled with turmoil and trouble, you can have peace on the inside. You can know how it all ends in the end. You can know what's really going to happen. And you can rest. A couple passages. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You want peace? It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2 says this, for he himself is our peace. Peace is personified. Jesus actually is peace. He doesn't just simply make peace. Jesus is peace. And that's why in Isaiah he's called the Prince of Peace. Chapter 4, with all humility, gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Or in 2 Thessalonians, may the Lord of peace himself continue to grant you peace in every circumstance. Jesus is our peace. He's the one that makes peace. And there will be no peace on this planet until Jesus comes back. But in the meantime, you can experience peace on the inside. That's why we're going to Uganda. They have all sorts of problems there. And not just problems with troubles. It's just getting enough food to eat. This issue's with water. They're all pumped because we're going to give them some water. They got all sorts of troubles and problems we don't even fathom or think about. And our message is going to be a message of peace, of good news. And that's what we're taking to them. You know, our peace came through Jesus dying on the cross. The disciples could not fathom that. It's only afterwards that it all makes sense that that's where we get our peace from. Peace has a price. Peace is never cheap. Peace is always very pricey. You know what Memorial Day really is about, don't you? Memorial Day is about the price of peace. That's why we have Memorial Day. What's the price of peace? Thousands of people dying for you. That's the price of peace. That's Memorial Day. Receiving peace is never cheap. It's pricey. And that's why Jesus made it very clear. Understand in this passage, what Jesus is not saying is simply, hey, you know, the world has a lot of troubles and problems out there, but if you accept Jesus, if you put your faith in me, you know, you'll kind of steam through it and have peace. No, what Jesus is saying here about these troubles is, you're going to have troubles because of me. In the world, you'll have tribulation. You, as Christians, are going to have more problems because of me, but I will give you peace to make it through it. How many of you aware that, you know, we've talked about her, but Miriam Abraham got released this last week. Wasn't that good news? My goodness, we've been praying for that poor lady. She was sentenced to 100 lashes and to be executed because she would not recant her faith in the 3-day period. She held firm to her Christian beliefs. They threw her back in prison. She was pregnant. She gave birth while chained to the floor in the prison cell, which caused her and the baby lots of problems. And why did she go through all that? Because Jesus said, you'll have trouble. You put your faith in Jesus, you have problems. But I give you peace. Peace to pull you through it. And a world of peace that eventually is going to come. You know, my own opinion is, as Christians, we need to make sure and be listening to the news, all the ugly stuff. You need to be reading the newspaper, paying attention to the news. There's a lot of things you can affect. You might not think so, but there's a lot of things you can positively affect by your prayers, by being alert who to pray for, by letters to congressmen, by signing petitions online. It's so easy. By your financial gifts to groups like Voice of the Martyrs or the Barnabas Fund. There are all sorts of things that we can do as Christians. And we need to be aware that we might not be going through a lot of tribulation here in our country right now. But the rest of the world, Christians in the rest of the world, are going through all sorts of tribulation and trials and problems. And God forbid if our attitude and our response to that is, well, let's just turn off the TV and start reading the funnies in the newspaper and we'll have inner peace. Oh, my word. The body of Christ is in pain overseas, and our response should be to be aware of what's going on and to help what's going on. In fact, I hope you don't have a lot of peace on the inside if your response is, let's just forget about what's going on there and for me to focus on myself. That's the kind of peace we don't need. 1 Corinthians 12, when one part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. That's why Paul went around from city to city amongst the Gentiles and collected funds, and that was to send them to the poor, persecuted church in Jerusalem. In a way, I like to think we're kind of doing that for Uganda. And that's one of the exciting things about what we're doing in Uganda. Those are folks over there that have suffered terrible persecution in the past under Idi Amin. This is a country that's laboring to spiritually get itself together, and you're a part of it. And you can be a part of it for the next couple of weeks through your prayers, holding us up as we go over and share the gospel. Let's stand and pray. Lord, we are grateful. We are so grateful that we can have a peace inside us because of Jesus. We thank you for the peace he made with you in our behalf, his substitutionary death that cleansed us from sin. And we thank you for the peace that we can have inside, a lack of anxiety about our future, knowing full well that Jesus will reign on this earth eventually. And Lord, help us to be concerned about those in our Christian community who are struggling, who do face great tribulation. Help us to do our part. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.